Welcome to Women in the Middle Entrepreneurs, the podcast that gives you an unfiltered behind-the-scenes look at what it's really like being a woman in the middle who's over 50 and following her entrepreneurial dreams. Grab a superhero cape, girlfriend, because you deserve one. I'm your host, Master Certified Life Coach and Midlife Mentor, Susie Rosenstein, and I am excited to inspire you with interviews that feature all of this midlife amazingness. Let's go. Hey there, welcome back to the show. We have a really exciting interview ahead of us today about creating more calm in your life. Today, you're going to be meeting Stephanie DeFonso, a woman in the middle entrepreneur who reinvented herself as a hypnosis coach and has never looked back. Welcome to the show, Stephanie. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Hey, Susie. I'm so excited to sit. Already, you and I, just before you hit record, we've had all these great conversations. So we're going to have fun today.
It's so great. And you know what? We come from the same hometown, Lansdale, Pennsylvania. What fun was that, that came up?
And how bizarre, because, you know, it'd be different. You know, you say, all right, I'm from Philadelphia. People say, oh, yeah, I am too. Say, oh, yeah, I'm from Lansdale, Pennsylvania. What?
So much fun. Well, I know we're going to have a great conversation today about your midlife entrepreneur story. We're going to be talking about your business, what's going really well, and also what midlife issues might be getting in your way to some extent or may have been challenging for you in your life, as well as being a business owner. So let's get started. I always like to start with a big, juicy question: how old you are, how long you've been an entrepreneur, and what it is that you do in the world. So take it away.
Hey, so I am about to turn 64.
Happy birthday early.
Thank you. You know what? I love saying that. I love being in this middle stage of life. I love it. So I have no problems with saying, you know, if somebody says, how old are you? I'm turning 64. Thank you so much. So I'm almost 64. I have been an entrepreneur for a little over 20 years. Never planned on that. That was like, literally, I was a celebrity radio DJ for my first career. And I don't think you knew this, Susie. I was the very first automated voice back in the 1980s. To listen to your messages, press one.
Really?
Move your bananas to the belt. We didn't know what we were doing with technology back then. It was just, you know, okay, I'll do this for you. So my husband would travel, and we were in South Florida, and he'd be in Chicago, and he'd go to pick up the phone and listen to his messages. This was before cell phones, in the hotel room, and he'd hear his wife saying, to listen to your messages, press one. So, you know, I was a radio DJ. That was on. That was as far as I had planned. But then after my last stint as a DJ, it was doing the morning show. My kids were young. They're 32 and 34 now. So this was quite a while ago. And the morning show, I was getting up at 3 a.m. with two small kids. Insomnia. I found myself literally at my kitchen counter smashing a bag of Cheetos, my kids' precious junk food, because I wasn't sleeping. I didn't know how to function. And something, you know, I don't even remember what made me smash the Cheetos. It was, I'm sure, something really small and minor. But anybody who's listening that has ever experienced insomnia, whoop, I say that word and a shiver goes through you, because have you ever experienced it, Susie?
No, but sleep problems, a lot of midlife women have sleep problems, either not staying asleep or not being able to get asleep. But what you're talking about is different. It's like,
Yes, but not really. Lack of sleep is lack of sleep. And it doesn't matter what stage of life you're in. It doesn't matter, you know, what's driving it. Lack of sleep is debilitating. And that's why I said, if somebody has experienced it and they hear me say the word insomnia, a shiver goes through you, because it's like, oh my gosh. I told you, my husband and I were on vacation last week for our daughter's wedding. So we were sleeping in a different environment. And, you know, I brought my weighted blanket with me.
I love my weighted blanket.
Is that like one of the greatest inventions?
Oh, I love it so much. It makes such a difference.
Right. So it's, again, it doesn't matter what stage of life we're in. If you're not sleeping well, life is not as good as it could be.
True.
So I found myself, you know, smashing this. I go to the doctor to get medication, which is what most of us would do. And I was shocked when he goes, well, your insomnia is because of your anxiety. I was like, what? I spent the first half of my life, Susie, not realizing that I was struggling with anxiety. I thought it was normal to walk around with my shoulders up like earrings on my ears and constantly worrying, but not just worrying, worrying about everything, anything, and always the worst case scenario. And this was, we're talking back when I was in my mid-30s, this was happening, right? So I had no idea about the anxiety. So, all right, gives me the medication. Great, it worked, but only for a short time. And then it stopped working, which I've now come, you know, I've worked with enough people to, you know, we've had this similar experience that it works for a short time and then it doesn't. Then things for me were spinning even more out of control because now it's like, oh my gosh, what if I take the medication and it doesn't work and I don't sleep and I have to get up at 3 a.m. and blah, blah, blah. So I'm like, okay, rip the Band-Aid off. I need to find my way through this because obviously that's not the answer for me. So this was back in the mid-90s and there was no internet. There was no Dr. Google, right? We didn't have any of that. So I was old school going to the library, checking out. There was not a lot of research like there is now. I was checking out magazines and cassette tapes. Do you remember cassette tapes? Right? So I was just trying to find any way I possibly could to help myself. And I happened to be, you know, I don't believe in coincidence. I don't believe in coincidences at all anymore. There's been too much evidence in my life. So I'm on this teleclass. Again, this is the 90s. I'm on a phone that has a curly cord to the phone bolted on the wall. And here's this Stanford-trained engineer, Gary Craig, on this telecall talking about tapping, emotional freedom techniques, as a way to help you with stress and anxiety. And I was like, I had nothing to lose, so let me try this. Holy moly, it helped me learn to sleep again. It helped me learn how to calm my stress and anxiety. Then my morning show was over. I was a stay-at-home mom, and I wanted to tell anybody and everybody. And I'm watching, their eyes are glazing over like, oh my gosh, she's really lost it, right? So we end up moving from the West Coast to Connecticut, which is where we live now, north of New York City. And I was staying home with the kids at the time. And my husband went into liver failure over 14 times, I think it was. Each time he was like inches from death because, you know, if your liver shuts down, you know, so he needed a liver transplant. And now I'm like, okay, I don't have a career anymore because I knew when I was 14, I was going to be a radio DJ. So I didn't go to college. I went to work in the radio station. So, oh, okay, I don't have a career. My husband is going in and out of liver failure. Chances are he's going to die. How am I going to raise these kids? So I have to come up with some other way. So, oh, again, now this is now we're out of the 90s, we're into 2001. And oh, I could go to school on a computer to be a life coach. Oh, okay. So I went to school to be a life coach, but then I like heard this little whisper to learn hypnosis. And on that first day, Susie, that's like the skies opened up, the angels were singing. This is what I was meant to do. It was so clear to me that this is what I was meant to do.
Oh, clarity. So beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. And like you said earlier, no, I have not looked back since then because I knew before my class was over. Now, as I said, I live in Connecticut and I'm going to put air quotes around laws about hypnosis vary from state to state. Some states have regulations, some don't, whatever. So I look in Connecticut and wow, I could go to school for one weekend and I'd be a certified hypnotist. I was like scratching my head thinking, I'm not sure that's quite enough training to do that kind of work. So I, you know, again, I'm early on the computer and I found this brilliant woman in New York City. I'm about 2 hours outside the city and she offered a much more robust training program over several months. And before the program was over, I had rented an office, gotten a phone, business cards and brochures because I knew this is what I'm meant to do. And that was 19 years ago.
Now tell me, what was it about that whole experience being so early on and discovering it that made it so clear that that's what you were meant to do?
It was because it was so simple. Like our whole society is everything that's worth something has to be hard and it has to take a long time and you got to be blood, sweat, and tears. And I learned that with hypnosis, literally, boom, I could make change like this. And so it was much more than just, oh, what this can do in my life. It was, wow, what I can do for others. And this woman, Melissa Tears, T-I-E-R-S, if anybody wants to look her up, she's brilliant. Anybody I've trained with since then cannot hold a candle to her. She said on that first day that most hypnotists are reading scripts. And that's like a one-size-fits-all thing. And we know one size doesn't fit all. So she says, raise your hand if you know how to read. We all raise our hand. She goes, great. I don't need to teach you how to read a script. I'll teach you how to reach inside your client and find the answers because the client already has the answers within. And, oh, hypnosis is not the only way either. Let's do hypnosis. And this is why I call myself an integrative hypnotist, because it's hypnosis and a whole lot of other modalities. Because if, like, the tapping, right? Tapping is what I learned first. And there have been times over the years when people have said, oh, no, that doesn't really work for me, or that is too crazy. And so I don't say, oh, well, you're wrong, or, oh, this isn't working. I just can seamlessly move us into something else that is going to help them. So it's never about me and thinking, well, hypnosis is the way. It's, oh, let me find what's going to work for you. And even when we work together, say we work together for 6 sessions, each of those 6 sessions is going to be different because you're going to be coming from a different perspective each time. So by knowing all these different ways, I can, you know, pivot and seamlessly, all right, meet you where you are. Oh, this is where you are now. Great. Now here we go from there.
I love your story. It's so interesting that, you know, the radio hosting took you as far as it could take you. And you followed your dream right out of high school. Like, that's so fun.
Yeah.
That's so fun. And then again, you were wise enough to hear that inner knowing and take the step to the tapping. And then you took the step to hypnosis. That's so good.
Thank you. But you know what? I did not know about my intuition. I didn't know it. I didn't understand it. Nobody had said to me anything about intuition. Certainly nobody was telling me about the law of attraction when I was 14 years old and I wasn't living in Lansdale yet. I was living in Charlestown, Pennsylvania, out in the boonies and lucky to be alive club. I would hitchhike. I was this thin, kind of attractive, long-haired 14-year-old girl hitchhiking to the train station so I could take the train to downtown Philadelphia and go hang out at the radio station. And because I knew I was going to be a radio DJ and I made it happen. But I didn't know about the law of attraction. I didn't know about intuition until many years later. And the intuition piece really didn't come to me until I'd been in my hypnosis practice business for a couple of years when, again, it wasn't as clear, that clarity of, ta-da, this is what I'm meant to be. But somehow early on, I again, must have heard the whisper of, you know, let the structure go, where it used to be, you came in, you sat here on the couch and we did this part and da, 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 da. And then, oh, now it's time. We're going to move you over to the hypno chair.
Yeah. And but you know what? But you did, you were following something.
Yes.
A lot of people get stuck right there out of fear and out of a narrative that this is wonky. I can't do anything weird like this, you know, because
well,
it was a little off the beaten path.
I am more than a little off the beaten path. And I don't mind saying it. It
That's
works,
great.
Right?
It's so good. Okay. So on this show, we like to talk about successes and challenges you've experienced while growing your business at this age and stage of life, which, you know, I call woman in the middle. And so what midlife challenges do you face? And why do you think these challenges, you know, appear as bumps every once in a while? I know there's lots of successes and we can talk about that too, but there's something unusual about midlife that's unique. And this kind of stuff does come up. And I always think of us midlife gals as like, we should all be wearing capes all the time because we have the midlife bumps and we're doing it anyway. So what's come up for you?
Oh, a whole bunch. But the one that I love to share about most is one that a lot of people would not share. And that was me ending my relationship with alcohol. because that was a way of me coping for a very long time. Mm. And, you know, a lot of people don't talk about it, which is why I do want to talk about it, because I want to be able to say, you know what? I've been there. I've come through the other side of it, and it's possible. You know, you and I both are into possibilities.
Big time, yeah.
And so I struggled with it for so long, and I tried, in air quotes, all these different traditional approaches, and not a damn one of them worked for me. Mm-hmm. Now, part of it was, I don't think I was ready. And part of it, hypnotist, heal thyself. Hello. Did I stop drinking with hypnosis? Yes. Did I have someone else help me with that? Yes, I did. Mm-hmm. Because we are not meant to go it alone. We are not meant to have to deal with things all by ourselves. And with the drinking, it was the easiest fucking thing. Excuse me if I shouldn't have dropped that F-bomb.
That's fine.
It was the easiest thing. It was easier than I could ever have imagined. It's easier than I can imagine, you know, telling someone else. And it was, this is after I'd helped countless number of other people and their addictions, whether it was alcohol or drugs or cigarettes or whatever. Porn. And, you know, I can remember one guy who came to me like for three different things, you know, one was for porn, one was for diet soda, one was for, you know, for something else. All these people who I helped easily end these addictions. And yet I still had this, and it was horrendously shameful. Mm-hmm. Anybody who's drinking right now, I'm going to invite you to take off your shame cape and just lift up to your shoulders and imagine that you just take off this imaginary cape, because it's not just like a cape. It's like that weighted blanket that you and I both were saying how much we love.
Yeah.
The weighted blanket, the heavy blanket that you get at the dentist when you get the x-rays, that blanket, that cloak of shame, you know what? It's a way of finding yourself soothing. So give yourself credit for, all right, you found a way to help yourself soothe. Maybe that's not the most healthy thing. And when you're ready to break out of that, reach out to me or another trusted person that you get a referral from. And I make sure and say that you get a referral from, because mm-hmm. when you're dealing with something that's really close and potentially shameful, you know, you really want to make sure that you're dealing with somebody who is trustworthy. And I think, I would love to think, especially, and this is where I really embrace the fact that I'm turning 64. I'm like a grandmother figure to a lot of people, and that's okay. I'm fine with that, because if that trust factor helps you feel like, oh, here's this sweet grandmother kind of person who can help me, then great. But I went to someone, as I said, I knocked on a lot of different doors before, and I'm coming up on 2 years now, before I finally really ended my relationship with alcohol. And I remember being shamed by somebody, that this woman who was a sober coach, and I told her my story, and she shamed me. And I was like, wait, what? And so obviously I didn't go back to her.
Wow.
But then when I found my freedom, I became even more committed to being public about, hey, guess what? I used to drink a lot and it was not good. And now look at me. If I posted on LinkedIn recently a picture, because just gobsmacked me. I was looking at on something on the computer, and I saw a picture of me from like 5 or 6 years ago and a picture of me now. And it is absolutely remarkable. And not, I wasn't posting it to be like, oh, look at me, but to be able to look at, I've dropped 50 pounds along the way. Wow. But it's much more than that. It's there's a light, the spark of joy and possibility and excitement is back. And that's what I want. Whether somebody's coming to me for a drinking or an addiction issue, or, you know, you want to deal with your stress and anxiety, or learn to sleep well, you know, whatever it is, it's possible.
It's so possible. I wanted to ask you something. How were you noticing that it was a problem for you with your business of helping people make change? For example, when you were struggling with change, like what were you noticing? Did you notice that you didn't look your best? did you notice the shame at the time? Like, had you really understood the negative impact it was playing in your life as you're showing up very visibly and authentically to help people?
Yes and no. I mean, obviously, I knew that what I was doing was not good for me or healthy, but this is where the radio training comes in too, where it didn't matter what kind of a day I was having. I could be having the worst day. I cracked that microphone and boom,
turned it on.
Stevie Knox was on, and that was my radio name. My maiden name was Stephanie Knox, so we shortened Stephanie to Stevie Knox, play on Stevie Nicks from Fleetwood Mac. So I was able to, with my clients, crack the mic, crack on Zoom, because I've been online. I've been doing this work online since 2015, long before the pandemic, because I was like, all right, I can reach people in 25-mile radius, or if I go online, I can reach people worldwide. But so I was able to compartmentalize it, but at the same time, and again, this is why I posted that picture of the two pictures recently, because I was like, whoa, I did not see that difference until I saw those two photos side by side.
Wow, so powerful. So another thing that you mentioned is something that's a bit of a hiccup, and I've heard this from a lot of women, and it was a huge issue for me too, and that's dealing with technology and keeping up with technology. Like, it's not like we just have to learn one thing once. It's constant. Right. So what is that like for you?
Well, and with AI now, it feels like we just went into warp speed, because, and I think, just by virtue of the fact that we're having this conversation, you and I are pretty tech savvy, or we wouldn't be able to be doing this. But it's still a bit of a challenge, because there's so much new coming out all the time. It's not like, oh, okay, I've learned it. Now I can sit back and I'm good. It's like, okay, now I've learned it. And oh, now here's something new to learn. And now here's something new to learn.
It's so true. And sometimes I think too that I get just this, like, I'm able to surf at the top. I can make something work, but am I utilizing it so that it can really help me? Is this something that could be part of a really valuable system, but I feel too rushed or stressed, or I just can't get over my urge to just pay somebody else to do it? Should I pay somebody else to do it? Or is this something I should learn my own? Like, I find it just technology opens up a whole can of worms.
It does. And yet I would say for anybody who might be struggling with that, who is, okay, do I pay? Do I do it myself? If you have the resources, pay somebody else, because when you do that cost analysis of, if this is going to take me 10 hours to figure out, or I can pay somebody X number of dollars and they're going to get it done in 1 hour. And that I don't like, it's not like, oh, I've always been wise. I learned that one the hard way. I told you I had a podcast. I really went into a lot of debt because I was outsourcing, because I didn't want to have to learn all of the stuff that had to go into it. But technology, our dear neighbor who's in his late 70s lost his wife a year ago, and he is a Luddite. Like, he didn't even have a cell phone. He came down to our house recently, and he wanted us to call because his phone was out and he didn't know how to get in touch with them. And he said, well, I'm gonna have to get a cell phone. Yeah, like, I like, whoa, I was surprised by that, right? But there are a lot of us, especially, if you're a woman entrepreneur and listening to this and you're thinking, I don't know what to do with the technology, you don't have to learn it all. And phew, isn't that a relief that we don't have to learn it at all?
It's so true. And there, the people that learn things and like to help other people because they're so good at an app or a piece of software, they love it. And they love helping and they love going deep. And it's so funny because, to some, I look at my bookkeeper like that. I'm like, oh my God, how can you like your job, you poor thing? She goes, I love it. It's a puzzle. I love why she gets so excited about it.
Right. And so something that would take you 10 hours to get through, she can zip through in probably an hour or less.
Yeah,
right.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Okay. So tell me, what is coming up next for you? Like, what do you want next in your business?
Whew, that's tough, because ideally, what I would absolutely, in a perfect world, I wouldn't have to deal with all the tech stuff and all the back end stuff. I would love to just be with my clients all day, every day. So I don't know. I don't know what next is other than I just want to get a bigger footprint and I want to be able to really get the message out there. When the pandemic hit, I published my book, Goodbye Anxiety, Hello Freedom, in 2018. And I never had a plan of I was a radio DJ. I wasn't going to write a book. But I heard this whisper, write the book. And the thing birthed out of me in less than 60 days.
That's the best.
It was unbelievable. But so that was 2018. Then the pandemic came and I was like, holy moly. Boy, people need this even more than ever. And, I struggled to get through the noise of, with the technology and all the social media, it just has gotten noisier and noisier. But I have this initiative, and this is where I guess the only place where I see other than, growing my business is this initiative that I have with my book. So I have worked with kids over the years and I have a picture of this little sweetie that used to have to be held down by two adults to get her shots. And I have a picture that her mom sent me of her calmly getting her flu shot back in 2020, because you can see she has her mask on. But kids are not who I focus on the most. It's basically I work with women in the middle, right? Women like you and me. But I have an initiative with my book that's like Tom's Shoes and Bombas Socks, where you buy a book and I donate one to a school or organization that will teach some of these skills to kids, teens, and young adults, because the young adults, the teens, and the kids are the ones who, in my opinion, my viewpoint, are the ones who had the worst effects from the pandemic and being in isolation. So that is, aside from, yes, I'd like to grow my practice, that's what I see next, is to be able to get these books not into the kids' hands necessarily, but into the hands of the adults, whether it's the parents, the caregivers, the teachers, administrators, when we can teach the adults, right? Because a stressed out adult is not going to be able to teach a kid how to calm down. I have said for years that anxious kids have anxious parents. I say I contracted anxiety in the womb from my mother.
Yeah.
Well, and you're shaking your head, yeah, because yeah. It is, they haven't proven that it's contagious, but I have seen, we take on the behavior, right? We're like tofu, we take on the flavor of what's around us.
So true. I love your work. It's so important. So how can people best get in touch with you and how can they find the book?
So you can find Goodbye Anxiety, Hello Freedom on Amazon. You can get 5 of the techniques if you want to just dip your toe in for free at 5 minutes to calm. You can either write the number 5 or write out 5, 5minutestocalm.com. I promise you, I am not one of those people who, you get on my email list and I start spamming. I send you an email once a week and it's short, sweet, and to the point, including a video of one of the techniques from the book. On social media, I'm active on LinkedIn, getting back on Instagram. And if you can figure out how to spell StephanieDalfonso.com, you can find me there too.
I know. And sometimes it's funny. Is it a Y? Is it an IE? I have right. A Z. Is it a Z? Is it a Z? Is it an S? I know. It's so confusing. Anyway, yours is Stephanie, StephanieDalfonso, Dalfonso, DalFonso.com is what you said, right?
Yep.
Perfect. Oh my gosh. Amazing, Stephanie. Thanks so much for taking the time from your day and sharing all of this. It's so fun to meet another amazing gal from Lambdale, Pennsylvania. And I really appreciate how, you believe and you teach and you show and you train people how they can overcome anxiety and create more calm in their lives. It's such powerful work.
Thank you. Thank you. And I love what you're doing too, because you're really like a beacon of light for those of us in these middle years.
Oh, thanks. I love it. I love, just helping women rise, because the amazingness is huge.
Yes. And my little final thing that I'll say is a rising tide raises all ships, and you are rising the tide. So thank you.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for being on. All right. That is it for now. If you're listening and loving what you hear, please like and subscribe. Reviews are great too and much appreciated. And if you're a woman in the middle who's 50 or over and an entrepreneur and would also like to come on the show, please go to www.midlifeinterviews.com and fill out an application. We'd love to have you on to share your story. Thanks so much for listening. It's never too late for you to put yourself on your agenda. I'm Susie Rosenstein, and I'll talk to you again soon. Now, real quick before we say goodbye, if you are connecting with this show, I'd love to invite you to a happiness breakthrough coaching session. It's my laser-focused coaching call that will help you get clear about what's getting in your way as a woman in the middle entrepreneur and confident about your next steps to more happiness in your next chapter. Head over to www.nextchapterbreakthrough.com. Talk to you soon.